John chapter 1, 19 through 34, and Lord willing, we'll finish out this chapter next week. Reading at verse 19, "Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem in order that they might ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, and confessed, 'I myself am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'Who then? Are you yourself Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you yourself the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' And they said to him, 'Who are you?' In order that we may give an answer to the ones who have sent us, 'What are you saying concerning yourself?' He said," notice this, "I am a voice crying in the desert." Then the quote from Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3, "Make straight the way of the Lord," unquote, according as the prophet Isaiah said. Now the ones who had been sent were from the Pharisees. In the first hour we studied about the Sadducees. These are the Pharisees, the legalists, concerned about the law and authority and what gives you the right to do what you're doing. Verse 25, "And they asked him, saying, 'Why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I myself baptize in water, but he has been standing amongst you whom you yourselves do not know. This is the one who coming after me is before me, whose strap of his sandal I am not worthy to loosen. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God, who is removing,'" notice the present participle, "'who is removing the sin of the world. This one is whom I said, after me, a man is coming who is before me, for he was before me. Now I myself have not known him, but that he should be manifested to Israel, therefore I came baptizing in water. And John testified, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove.'" The literal translation is "as a dove." Didn't say it was a dove. It had the form of a dove. "And it was remaining upon him. I myself have not known him, but the one who sent me to baptize in water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and I have testified that this is the Son of God." Last week we finished the prologue to John's Gospel, verses 1 through 18, where he presents the fact that the Word, the Logos, known in Greek philosophy as the great thinker behind the universe that spoke all things into existence, that the Logos, who has always been in existence, he is eternal, he is equal to God, and his essence and quality when he came was that he was all God. That the Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us, and we were able to behold and view his glory. The only glory that has come out from the Father, the only one that represents God. That this Word, the Word of God, came into his own creation and his own people reject him. rejected him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become children of God, to the ones who are believing in his name, who have experienced a spiritual birth from God. Some reject, some receive. But then last week we finished up by John presenting the fact that he's the light of the world. He has come and he illuminates every person coming into this world. And that he is the only begotten Son, that is the only unique Son that exists in the bosom of the Father. And when he came to declare God. The word declare is where we get a word exegesis from, exegeseto. He came to relay to us and expound to us the things of the Lord in detail. Whatever detail he gave, that's what we are to know. All of the Gospel of John is based on these first 18 verses. The first 18 verses lay the groundwork. All of the rest of the Gospel of John is proof text. Material that John has gathered together and has presenting under the influence of the Holy Spirit in order to prove and manifest that the Word of God has become flesh and dwelt amongst us. He was rejected and he was received. Now today, in verses 19 through 34, as verse 19 tells us, it says, "This is the testimony of John." That's verses 19 through 34, the testimony of John. So we're introduced to John that he came to give a testimony concerning the light in the prologue. Now we're given it in detail, what his testimony was all about. Next week, in verses 35 to 51, it'll be the testimony of the Word of God, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But for today, the testimony of John. Two areas that we want to share with you about the testimony of God. Verses 19 through 28, John testifies concerning himself. John testifies concerning himself. If you look at verse 19, this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem in order that they might ask him, "Who are you?" Now some people think that by reading through this text, that the priests and the Levites, the religious leaders of the Jews, were coming out just to give John, the baptizer, a bad time. Who are you? Who do you think you are? But in reality, they're following Scripture. They're following Scripture. I want to read for you from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. It's a very important Scripture, which is why I'm reading it. We make reference to it a lot. But this is in the law of Moses and given to the Jews. And in Deuteronomy 18:18, it says, God is telling Moses, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you, Moses, from amongst their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." So the Jews right away have it established in their law that God told Moses that he was going to send the prophet. Not any prophet, but the prophet. This prophet who would be Messiah, another word for him is the prophet, that God says God was going to put his words in Messiah's mouth, and he would only speak what God has commanded him to say. Verse 19 says, "And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of any other gods, that prophet shall die." Now, in our day and age, we practice love. You know, when a false prophet comes along, we say, "Well, you just got to love him." You know, it's human error. God says when someone comes along on the basis of his name presenting the word of God, if it is not from God, that prophet is to die. And he says, and so the question comes up, how do we know if he's a false prophet or not? Verse 21 says, and if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? How do we know if it's from God or not? Verse 22, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. They are presuming that it's the word of God. You shall not be afraid of him. Now that last little phrase in Hebrew is kind of interesting. They're supposed to put the prophets to death. Well, if somebody is a false prophet and he's proven that it's not the word of God and he is to be put to death, you don't have to be afraid of him. The person you have to be afraid of is if you mess with a prophet who is truly from God. You don't touch God's anointed. That's just the way it is. Because God deals with people. So he says, if he's a false prophet, you don't have to worry about it. Put him to death. Now that's a very interesting law and principle by which the Jews were governed by. Now in our day and age, we don't put people to death. But it should be more serious amongst us when people presume and say, thus saith the Lord, and it's not from the Lord. That's a serious thing. So serious that God says anybody that misrepresents me that way is to be put to death according to the law. We call it human error. Certainly there is human error because we're humans. But when we represent the Lord and say this message is from God, this is God's word, this is the truth, it better be that God commanded that to be said. If it's done presumptuously, that somebody presumes that they have come from the Lord, then and they're not, they are to be dealt with as a false prophet. I'm not saying put them to death, because we're not under the law, but we ought to take it more serious. Love must hold people responsible, and not just take things lightly. So he comes, and they came, and they said, who are you? They were doing it according to Scripture. Verse 20, here is his first testimony about himself. He confessed and did not deny, and he confessed that I myself am not the Christ. This is interesting. Here's humility. He confessed to what he was not, but he did not deny what he was. In his confession, he wanted to confess what he was not. I am not the Christ. He wasn't boasting. Testifying for oneself is not to boast about what you are. It's what you are not. I'm not the Christ. I'm not God. I don't have all the answers. But he did not deny who he really was. And so verse 21... First of all, he confessed what he was not. In just a moment, he's going to tell us who he really is. Their response to him in verse 21, and they asked him, who then? Are you Elijah? According to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, and Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, that's 3, 1 and 4, 5 of Malachi, that Elijah was to come before the coming of Messiah and introduce Messiah to Israel. So with John's ministry being the way it is, they said, okay, you're not the Christ. And by the way, the word Christ is the word Messiah in Greek. Mashiach in Hebrew is the Hebrew word of Christ, Christos, the Messiah. So he says, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the Christ. Well, then who are you then? Are you Elijah? He says, I am not. I'm not Elijah. Now, this is very interesting because in Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus took the disciples up on the mountain and he was transfigured before them and he was seen speaking with Moses and Elijah. When they came down off the mountain, the disciples asked him, you know, what's that all about? What's the theology here? In Matthew 17, verses 12 and 13, Jesus said about Elijah that Elijah is to come. That would be according to Malachi 3:1 and 4:5. But I say to you that he has come already. And verse 13 of Matthew 17 says, and the disciples understood that he was making reference to John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer. So they come out to him and they say, are you Elijah? He says, no, I'm not. But Jesus said, Elijah has already come, making reference to John the Baptist. The answer is found in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, where the angel Gabriel was telling Zacharias about the coming of John the Baptizer, that Elizabeth would bear a son. He said, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, and he will come in the spirit and power of Elijah. That helps us understand what's going on here. He himself was not Elijah, but God's Spirit upon him gave him the same ministry as Elijah. The references in Malachi 3:1 and 4:5 is making reference to the second coming of Christ. Now, this is why Jews were confused. They thought there was only one coming. So John the Baptist or baptizer has the same ministry as Elijah, introducing the Christ, the Messiah, to Israel the first time. Elijah himself will come before the second time. And you can read about it, Revelation chapter 11, where the two witnesses come. One of them has the ministry and power of Elijah, and the other one has the ministry of Moses. So it's interesting, these two witnesses that come prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. So that's why they're asking him, are you Elijah? He says, no. Are you the prophet? Deuteronomy 18. They're looking for the prophet which is to come. Yes?
So the prophet is the second person that will be with Elijah in Revelation?
No. Well, yes. The prophet is another title of the Messiah. They know him to be the same. The Messiah is God's prophet, period. Not a prophet, but the prophet, the spokesperson for God. So they said, are you yourself the prophet? And he answered, no. So now they're really confused. And they said to them, then who are you in order that we may give an answer to the ones who have sent us? What are you saying concerning yourself? Now he's going to give the other half to his testimony. He confessed what he wasn't. Now he's not going to deny what he is. He said, I am a voice crying in the desert. Quote from Isaiah 43, make straight the way of the Lord, unquote. As Isaiah the prophet said. So he says, I'm just a voice. In fulfillment of Scripture, it's interesting that when he talked about himself personally, he related to Scripture. I am the fulfillment of God's Word. I'm here for this purpose. I am just a voice. And as we see his humility throughout the first three chapters of John, we will see that he's constantly telling people, don't look to me, don't think I'm somebody, I'm just the friend of the bridegroom, bringing the bride and bridegroom together. I'm just the friend. I'm just introducing people to the bride. I rejoice when the bride and bridegroom come together. I'm nobody. He must increase and I must decrease. Humility. So he confessed what he was not. But he did not deny what he was. And when he did talk about himself in his testimony, he related according to the Scriptures and fulfillment of God's Word. So verse 24 says, those who were sent were from the Pharisees. They're legalists. They're sent out to say, who gave you this authority? Because you have to have authority from the religious leaders to do this. So verse 25 says, and they were asking him, saying, then why are you baptizing if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? So he said to them, yes. Because they're taking the names. I mean, he's not the Christ, but what about the prophet? Are you claiming to be the prophet that's coming? It's just another name. Maybe there's a twist there where he's not claiming to be the Christ, but he is the prophet, see? And John answered them, saying, I myself baptize in water, but one has been standing amongst you whom you yourselves do not know. It is he that is coming after me, who is preferred before me, preference, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loosen. The humility of it. I am here to represent the one that you don't know. And by the way, it doesn't make me better than you. I'm not even worthy to unloose a strap of his sandal. He has the preeminence. And I am just here to baptize in water. And he made his baptism to be limiting. I only baptize in water. He knew that was a ritual. But he's going to talk about the Christ in a moment. Verse 28 says, these things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now verses 29 through 34, John's testimony about the Christ, the Word. The next day, John sees Jesus coming towards him, and he says, look, the Lamb of God who is removing the sin of the world. This is the one whom I said, after me, a man is coming who is preferred before me, for he was before me. He has the preeminence. But now he says, in verse 31, I did not know him. But I knew that he, in order for him to be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And so John bear witness. When he sees John coming, verse 32 says, he knew who Jesus was, and it's interesting, they're cousins. He knows Jesus because Jesus is his cousin, but he doesn't know Jesus as Messiah. How was John to know who the Messiah was? They didn't get together and say, okay, here we go, here's the introduction. You go out and introduce me and I'll come in later. And, you know, he didn't even know who he was. So his testimony in verse 32 is that John testified saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove or as a dove, and it was remaining upon him. Yes.
John is saying he saw the Spirit, but you know how in movies they usually show Jesus being baptized by John and then the dove?
Yes.
So he's saying he saw this.
Well, the baptism has taken place. John is not, the Apostle John in writing this testimony is only highlighting testimonies that back up his prologue verses 1 to 18. The water baptism is important only in contrast to the Spirit baptism of Jesus. So he's only bringing testimony here. He's not relating that it was after the baptism that he saw the Spirit. In fact, he was baptizing Jesus just like he did everybody else, but he knew there was something about him. He says, I need to be baptized by you, not me baptize you, but you need to baptize me. Jesus said, allow it to be so. And it's because he saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it was remaining upon him. And verse 33 says, and I have not known him, but the one who sent me to baptize, that would be God the Father, the one who sent me to baptize in water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I have testified that this is the Son of God. So John the Baptist or John the Baptizer was told by God some way that you will baptize in water. And somehow in the process, someone is going to come and my sign to you is that you will see the Spirit of God descending upon him and remaining upon him, and that is a sign to you that he is the Son of God. Now, this was for John's sake. Not everybody saw this. He is testifying, this is how I know that this is the one that I came to introduce to Israel. And he even showed the importance of the Lord's ministry compared to his, is that he says, I come baptizing in water. His was a baptism of repentance for the Jews. It has nothing to do with believers' baptism. They were to come and to be baptized, and by being baptized, they were renouncing their trust in the law and Judaism for their salvation. That they were going to put their trust in the coming Messiah, and that indeed John was introducing Messiah to Israel. So when they came to be baptized, they were showing that they were making their decision to change. They were making a decision to change putting their trust in Judaism to put their trust in the Messiah. That's different than believers' baptism. This was for the Jews. So John says, I have a limited ministry here. I just come baptizing in water. But the one that I'm introducing to you has the real ministry of baptizing in the Holy Spirit. Now, from the introduction of Jesus by John to the people and the revelation of Jesus as Messiah, his first public revelation at this time, from day one until the present day, the ministry of Jesus is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, period. That is the name of his ministry. In Acts chapter 1, verse 5, after Jesus rose from the dead, before he ascended up into heaven, he told the disciples to go into Jerusalem. He says, you've heard John say, I baptize with water, but the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is coming. So he says, go to Jerusalem. Wait. It's coming. Paul used that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, by saying that we who have received Christ, we have all been made to drink of the one Spirit. We've all been baptized by the same and the one and the same Spirit into the body of Christ. Baptism, the word baptism, means two things. It means cleansing, and it means identification. That's why water baptism, when we get baptized as believers, it is a symbol of the fact that when we receive Christ, we were cleansed. Forgiven for our sins. Cleansed of our sins. And secondly, our identification is with Jesus Christ. Now, spirit baptism means exactly the same thing. When a person is baptized or receives the Spirit of Christ, that is the process that cleanses. Okay? When His Spirit comes into my spirit, I'm clean. Not my flesh, but my spirit. And secondly, when I have His Spirit, that's my identification with Him. How do I know that I'm a Christian? How do I know that I belong to Christ? Well, if I belong to Christ, He's going to be in me. I might tell you that I belong to Christ, but I'm hoping that the Lord will be the testimony that if I have Christ living in me and you see Christ in my life and through my life, that's my identification. It was never presented as a second experience. It was always presented as the ministry of Jesus Christ when He ministers His Spirit to someone. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a Jewish phrase taken right from the religious journals about baptism, because the Jews baptized everything. It was a symbol of cleansing and a symbol of identification. So John baptized in water. That was just a ritual people went through to show that they were identifying with John's message. But he says the real ministry, and he says you can get baptized with my baptism and good for you. You really need to be baptized with the Spirit, and that's who's coming after me. And we'll see that in the book of Acts as we go through in the first hour, that some people were baptized with John's baptism and they went back home to wherever country it was and they hadn't even heard if the Messiah had come yet. So just because they were one of John's disciples and had been baptized by John's ministry, they weren't saved. A person needs to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That is the process that saves. That is the process that cleanses. That is the process by which we identify with Christ, is when His Spirit comes to dwell within. It is important to understand it is not our religious and personal belief that saves us. The coming of His Spirit into our spirits, that's what saves us. When we're born of His Spirit. So, from the very beginning, the Lord is presented as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, where John's ministry is just a baptism in water. So John's testimony says, I've seen the sign. God told me, the one that you see, the Spirit descending like a dove and remaining on him. This is him. Now all the other people weren't seeing this, just John. In fact, the other gospel writers talk to us about how God said from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So John's like, okay, you're the one. I'm just baptizing with water until I see the sign. And this was his sign and his introduction. Next week, in verses 35 through 51, the testimony of Jesus Christ. This was John's testimony. We're going to study the Lord's testimony as we finish out John chapter 1 next week. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for coming in human form to communicate with us, to reveal yourself to us, to minister to us. Some have and some are and some will reject you, but others will receive. And we thank you that those who receive are cleansed, washed, that our sins have been cleansed and washed from as far as the east is from the west. That the Lamb of God has come to remove the sins of the world, not cover them, but remove them. And that you have removed our sin, not because we are sinless, but because that is your ministry and work to us through the finished work and sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We confess to you this morning that our hope is placed, our faith is placed upon the finished work of our Lord. For we are sinful, we are weak, but you are our Savior and our Sustainer. We thank you for that today. Just teach us to walk with your Spirit by faith, with the cleansing, with the refreshment and encouragement that we already have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.